At the heart of repentance is indeed a change of direction.
Pastor Peter Bender speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
But the change of direction begins at the fundamental level of the human person, the heart itself, which the scriptures describe as the seat of faith. We are conceived and born in sin since Adam's fall, and therefore we are bent against God. We have no natural love for God. We have no natural trust for God. And the one we trust in is ourselves.
You can listen to Pastor Bender's presentation, Making the Case for Lutheran Piety, and all of the speakers at our 2017 conferences on an audio DVD. It contains almost 20 hours of teaching and preaching. We'll send it to you for a $300 year-end tax-deductible donation. Look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
For centuries, one story has touched the lives of people across the world. This holiday season, you're invited to discover the story of the first Christmas from an entirely new perspective.
Hang on! Cyrus! Jonah!
I expected a left turn two deserts ago.
These wise guys are lost. That's it. I'm fighting through the rains.
From the studio that brought you Miracles from Heaven and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Stephen Yeun, Keegan-Michael Key, Gina Rodriguez, Zachary Levi, Kelly Clarkson, Patricia Heaton, Kristen Chenoweth, Tyler Perry, Tracy Morgan, and Oprah Winfrey.
King Herod is up to something. That's what
this means. Harry, you're in danger. You need to listen to what I'm about to say extremely carefully.
Do you want a belly rub?
The Star.
That's the trailer for the animated feature The Star coming out for Christmas. It's aimed at your kids. It tells the story. Well, it tells a number of stories, but it's set within the context of the biblical birth of Christ. How faithful is it to that original story? If you're going to talk about the first Christmas, then you really should talk about the first Christmas. Of course, its point is to entertain, not to promulgate the doctrines of the church, but the source material should be respected. We're going to find out whether or not it has been. We're going to be reviewing the movie, The Star. Pastor Ted Giese will join us on this Monday afternoon. A little bit later, we're going to talk about the Church of Sweden and gender-neutral language for God with Pastor Fredrik Sidenvall. He is a member of the General Synod of the Church of Sweden, and he attended a recent meeting of the Church of Sweden where they decided, urged, required, it's hard to tell, gender-neutral language with respect to the deity. In the meantime, we're reviewing the movie The Star. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
This is a family film, a kid's film as well, an animated version of the traditional Christmas story. Would you as a Lutheran pastor recommend young parents taking their young children to see this over the Christmas holiday?
Yes, but I'm going to add a qualification. I think that it's important to add this major qualification. This is not a substitute for bringing your children to church. It's not a substitute for bringing them to Christmas Eve, Christmas Day services, not a substitute to sitting down and reading with them the actual story from Scripture. I think that that's very important, because if you don't do that, this is going to be a poor substitute. If you do those things, if you're teaching your children in your home what Scripture actually says about the birth of Christ and the all of the things that happened around the birth of Christ, then this will be simply a nice family movie to watch together that is clean and not denigrating your little kid's Christian faith and your Christian faith as you watch it.
So what story does it, obviously it's set in the context of the birth of Christ, but what story does it tell?
So what you have is you have a, this is a talking animal movie. It's not quite like you might find in some Disney films or whatever, where the one thing that I was most worried about going to this movie, because I heard that there was music in the movie too, and they have some like musicians that are kind of connected to singers that are connected to the movie. I was afraid that this was going to be an animal movie where the animals sing songs, but that's not the case. So there is some, you know, music that happens in the movie, but I was kind of worried about that. When I went to sit down in the movie, I didn't really want to see that. So what you do get, though, is a talking donkey and a little talking dove. And then all the rest of the animals all can talk, too. And they're kind of experiencing some of the events that are happening at the same time as the birth of Christ. So you end up with your central character, the donkey, who ends up along the way with Mary and Joseph, and then goes with them to Bethlehem where the Christ child is born. So that's your general thing. So what you have is animals who talk with each other, humans that talk with each other, but the animals and the humans don't understand. Like, the animals kind of understand what the people are saying, but the people don't understand what the animals are saying. They're, whenever they go to a third person point of view about everything, it's like the animal is trying to say things to the human, but it comes out like hee-haw, hee-haw, like animal noises, right? So this is what you're getting. So it's kind of peculiar in that way, but it's in a vein with other kind of children's movies that have, you know, talking animals in them and this kind of thing. That's what you get. So I guess the bigger story, I guess, would be the birth of Christ. And in there you have this donkey who wants to get out of his job, you know, working in the mill. And he wants to join the royal caravan, and the dove, Dave, is going to help him with that, and to try to get away to join the caravan. They're going to go do it together, and in the end, they end up going along with Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus in Mary's womb, and discover that they were part of the royal caravan that actually matters, of the real King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Does it have an explicit Christian message to it? I mean, it's an odd thing to ask about a story that is set around the birth of Christ, but does it give a tip of the hat to the fact that this is the incarnation?
Yes. I ask people, I recommend that families actually sit down and read the gospel narratives of the birth of Christ, because when they sit down and read them, they're going to find certain elements that are in scripture that are then right up on the screen. So you do have the angel Gabriel coming to Mary to, you know, tell her the visitation, the annunciation, to tell her of, you know, her carrying the Christ child. That's there in the movie. You have all sorts of things like that that occur through the course of the film. And it is a self-aware film. So it knows that this is weird to say, but it knows that it's a Christmas movie. So the first bit of music you hear when you sit down in the theater is the Carol of the Bells, you know, Christmas is here, you know, like, so right from the get-go, it is about the Christmas story. And there is a one point at which one of the camels that belong to the wise men, the camel talks about how, you know, for thousands of years, like thousands of years from now, people will still be celebrating the birth of Christ. So it's quite explicit in the spots where it needs to be. It's also really made for children. So it kind of presents it in that kind of, you know, not I don't want to say in a pejorative sense, but in the Sunday school kind of sense, that it's a simplified telling of the story, but it is on point in the points where it needs to be on point.
I did want to ask you about the movie house, so to speak, that made the film, because people kind of assume with animations could be Pixar or one of the other big animation. This is not that, is it?
No, this is Affirm Films, which is a subsidiary of Sony Pictures. And Sony Pictures does do, like, you know, it's competitive in that market for kids' movies and things like that, too. But this, as part of Affirm Films, is a production house that does movies that listeners will be familiar with, There was a movie called Miracles from Heaven, War Room, which was reviewed on Issues, etc. Heaven is for Real, which we reviewed. Risen from 2016, which we reviewed. Mum's Night Out, Courageous Soul Surfer, a movie called All Saints that came out this year. So these guys are making, this group is making Christian films. I'm kind of half using air quotes there because some of these don't really meet muster. But in this particular case, it's above the, it's better than the other ones that they're making. Risen was quite, was pretty good for what it was. Heaven for Real was, Heaven is for Real was like not particularly good. But the source material wasn't particularly good. In this case, because their source material is very good, this is turning out to be a much better film.
You say that the one thing, liberty that takes, which is all too common in pretty much every nativity scene ever sold to anybody, is the conflation of the story of the Magi, which plays into the plot of the film. How would you describe that?
Yeah, this is... listeners are super familiar with this, like you're saying. It's that whole kind of Christmas card thing, and it pre-exists Christmas cards. You'll have paintings that'll have the wise men, the Magi from the East arriving at the actual birth of Christ. When from the text of Scripture, like in Matthew's Gospel, it's later. It's, you know, he's, you know, they're living in a house. It's a different kind of scenario. The indication is that it's later than the day of. It's not happening. Scripture doesn't say that it's happening the day of. It's after the birth of, after these things had happened. Then the wise men arrive. So what they have in the movie, though, of course, is this convergence of everybody on the actual time of the birth of Christ. And they do that, narratively speaking, so that they can have somebody pursuing the... you know, Virgin Mary and Joseph as they work their way to Bethlehem. So there's a soldier with his two dogs, and the two dogs are, and the soldier are trying to track down the child. And that's all happening to increase, you know, dramatic tension, and also gives the donkey and the dove a little something to do because they're trying to warn, they find out about it, and they're trying to warn the Holy Family of the impending danger that's coming their way. So this is all kind of part of how they put it together, but we run into that all the time, and these are by far not the only people who've ever come up with this idea to kind of smush these two things together. And of course, you know, one of the reasons why they end up together is proximity on the church calendar. The wise men, we celebrate that at Epiphany, which is at the end of the 12 days of Christmas, and we celebrate the birth of Christ at the beginning of the 12 days of Christmas with Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So they're already close together on the liturgical calendar. And then, of course, the Eastern Church and the Western Church, they emphasize the end or the beginning of the calendar for their celebrations of Christmas. So the Eastern Church kind of celebrates Christmas at the end of the 12 days. That's when it kicks off for them. And we celebrate it at the beginning of the 12 days. That's when it kicks off for us. So people who are marketing Christmas tend to just kind of take these things and ram them together. So this is something that we run into all the time. And I mentioned along the way, I think at the very end of my review, that Ad Crucem is a great company if people are looking for biblically sound representations of Scripture in greeting cards, Christmas cards, and artwork. So there are ways around it. I think that it's important to be careful about actually pointing out when things don't match up with what you find in Scripture, but also giving praise when it does actually match up with what you find in Scripture.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We are reviewing the movie The Star. When we come back, we're going to talk about an uncredited voice in this movie. They're all kinds of voice actors, stage and song and screen in The Star. And then there's one that is uncredited. Just an interesting note. We'll talk about it with Pastor Ted Giese after this.
Like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For 28 years, I had the privilege of serving as a chaplain in the United States Navy.
Dr. Dan Gard, retired Rear Admiral and President of Concordia University Chicago, on the need for military chaplains.
During that time, I was able to bring word and sacrament to so many young people and their families, our sons and daughters spread throughout the world. Truly a privilege and an honor, and today there are other chaplains that must follow. We need more LCMS chaplains in all branches of the military. It's an incredible, amazing mission opportunities to go to places no other pastor can go, but to go with the same tools that any other pastor brings wherever he goes, word and sacrament.
You can find out more about the vocation of military chaplain at lcms.org/armedforces. The LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, reviewing the movie The Star. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. In about 10 minutes, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Fredrik Sidenvall of the Church of Sweden, and actually of the, it is the mission province of Sweden, a dissenting group for much of what the Church of Sweden is doing. The Church of Sweden recently voted to change its Book of Order and to encourage alternate language for God, alternate pronouns that steer clear of any specific gender, like he or father or son. We'll see why that came about and what it means for the Church of Sweden and Lutheranism in Sweden with Pastor Fredrik Sidenvall in about 10 minutes. Ted, this is obviously an animated film, and because it's animated, there are lots of people who do the voices of the characters. This one has stars of stage and screen, including and up to and including Oprah Winfrey. There's also an uncredited voice in there. Who is that?
Well, yeah, Joel Osteen is in there too. Now, as soon as you see Oprah Winfrey, that's kind of peculiar. You're already like probably like me when you see that, your little flag is going to go up, a little warning flag. And then Joel Osteen shows up in it too, and you're like, oh my goodness, like what's going on here? I didn't point this out, but it's kind of a funny thing. Joel Osteen plays one of the wise men. And here's the funny part is that, of course, the wise men are pagans seeking after Christ. You know, they're not, you know, this is a just kind of a weird thing. And then, of course, Oprah Winfrey is one of the wise men's wise camels. So they're kind of in the same boat. It's a peculiar kind of detail to the whole thing. But yeah, they're in there. They don't, there's nothing that they say in the script of this particular movie which is subversive or problematic towards the Christian, you know, faith or towards the scriptural narrative itself. I mean, there's one wise man who says, you know, oh, you know, like, I never know what, he's like, I brought, hope you like myrrh. He says, like, I never know what to bring. And if that is him, I guess the only thing is that Luther at one point comments that, you know, it's not three gifts, three givers, that's kind of a simplistic way of thinking about it. It's not what Scripture says, that all of the wise men gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh together as a group, as a gift to the Christ child. So, I mean, like, if that's the worst, I'm not even sure if Joel Osteen was that particular wise man in the course of the movie. But yeah, that's the thing. And they have very few lines, and they're, like I said, they're narratively there in the way that they are there in order to help ramp up a little bit of dramatic tension in the film.
What would be your, if you have one, your biggest concern about this treatment of the Christmas story, and what would you be your say strength of this depiction?
I know that, like, some people are just not happy with the idea of taking something as important as the birth of Christ and putting that into a cartoon. Some people, just on the face of it, are going to find that that's a disrespectful way of approaching the Christian narrative. I would hope that the same people who would feel that way would also then complain to their church councils about having Christmas pageants or having creches put out that are, you know, intended to be appealing to children or anything of that nature. So I think that there is some genuine concern in that department. I would have to say that the biggest strength I think that the movie has is that it is very kind, and it's not mean-spirited in any way. It doesn't have a cynical bone in its body. When people bemoan that Hollywood is always trying to pervert and disrupt the Christian faith, this movie doesn't really have that in it at all. So if you can stomach the idea of having some talking animals, what you're going to find is a very kind movie that, I know what they're kind of like. Sometimes, like, artists, you know, there's inspirations for these kinds of things. So for instance, from Isaiah chapter 11, you get, you know, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fatted calf together, and a little child shall lead them. This is the kind of thing that probably inspires people to do stuff like this. Because one of the really great things for parents taking their kids to a movie like this is that the dogs that are there to chase down and try to catch the Holy Family for King Herod, the dogs in the end have a time of repentance, and they say, "We're bad dogs." And then they are also invited to come in to the stable to be there with the Christ child. And the one dog says to the other dog, "Are we good dogs now?" So maybe the answer that he gets is a little unsatisfactory. The other dog says, "Well, we have to try." But really, actually, like, this idea that Christ will bring, you know, people together, or in this case, these animals together who would not normally be together, that's not bad. It's a good thing to have in there. And the fact that the animals are not, they know that this is the birth of the Messiah. That comes up in the course of the movie too. I just think that there's some real strengths to the movie overall. And I understand that if you watch the trailer, like when I watched the trailer for this movie, I was like, no way, Jose. I was 100% not wanting to see this movie, actually. And I was, you know, asked to watch it, so I watched it. And I'm, you know, surprised by how it turned out. I think that people might stay away because of things like Oprah, and if they find out that Joel Osteen's involved in it in any way, even if he just came in for a half hour to read a couple lines one day, that might keep people away. But I tell you that there's much worse Christmas-related products that are going to be available to people this year. I heard that Hallmark Films, they have a couple TV channels. They're putting out like over 50 movies this year, Christmas-themed movies. I can almost guarantee you that of those 50 Christmas-themed movies, it's going to be more about, you know, Christmas gifts and Christmas trees and, you know, holiday meals and whatever, than it's going to be about the birth of Christ. I would hope to be wrong, but I know that this one is not like that.
In the end, is it the biggest concern that anybody has when you try to animate something like this and then inject comedy? Is it going to trivialize the sacred story? What's your answer to that one?
You know, they have a little disclaimer right at the very end, and I tried really quickly to read it and remember everything that they said in it, and then I couldn't find it online, what they'd said. But they do admit to the fact that they wanted to present it in a fun way for children. So when they do that, the donkey is fun, the little, you know, white dove is fun, all of those elements are fun, but they're not poking fun at Christianity, and the things that are important and sacred are things that are respected. So for instance, and there's a kind of a Christian culture that kind of is part of the whole film itself. So for instance, the donkey gets the name Boaz, Bo for short. Mary gives the donkey his name. So Boaz, of course, is a relative of Christ's through David. So that's a nice little touch. Plus, then the animals run into at one point a little sheep that's also had seen the star and is investigating what had happened with the star. And the little sheep's name is Ruth. So then you have Ruth and Boaz together. You know, like, so they put little things like that in there that are respectful of Christian faith and actually are, like, show some awareness of Christian faith also in there, of scripture itself. And Joseph is, you know, has a couple silly moments, but he is also shown as being very concerned about his role and a little unsure of the idea of, you know, taking care of the Messiah, that he doesn't think that he really should be the one to do it. But in the end, he trusts God that is what he is to do. And Mary is presented in a very, very kind and reverent way. And even like because they're thinking about a children's audience, I think that they do a couple things that are really smart. So when you finally get to the actual point where the birth of Christ is going to happen, they don't have all of the kids just sitting around watching as Mary physically gives birth to the Christ child. At that moment, there's a little activity that happens outside of the stable area, and they go to take care of that. So when all of the little excitement outside gets taken care of and is done, then all of the animals come back in, and they come back in and they find Mary and Joseph and now the baby Jesus in the swaddling cloths. So they're thinking about the fact that these are small children that are going to watch this, you know, and even like when Mary has to explain to Joseph about her being pregnant and it not being his child, they have enough of a conversation so that everybody knows what's going on. But then the adult grown up conversation that happens, you know, they go upstairs and close the door, just like it would actually happen for kids in a family where the parents are going to have a conversation and the kids are not part of that conversation. So I think that there are a lot of real strengths. They're certainly thinking about little kids when they made the movie, and it is respectful to Christianity. It is also fun. In spots in the screening that I was at, kids were laughing. They were having a good time at the spots where they were supposed to laugh and have a good time. So I don't know what else to say about it in that kind of way, but I think that it has a good mix of being reverent where it needs to be reverent and being fun where it can be fun.
Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. And you can read his review of The Star under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Ted, thanks.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the Church of Sweden and gender-neutral language for God. They recently made some changes there. Pastor Frederick Siedenvall will join us to tell us what happened and why it happened. Stay tuned.
Be transported back into the town of Bethlehem and hear the townspeople talk of the special night when Mary and Joseph arrived, the star appeared above, and Jesus' birth. Lord of Life Lutheran Church in Chesterfield invites you to a nativity drama Friday evening, December the 1st from 6 to 8, and Saturday and Sunday afternoon, December the 2nd and 3rd from 2 to 5. Handicapped accessible. Call 636-532-0400 free of charge, appropriate for all ages.
It's tough to be Lutheran in America these days. Our families, our schools and churches, even our most deeply held beliefs and values are under fire. We need unchanging truth in a world full of confusion. The Lutheran Witness magazine can help. For less than a quarter a day, get the best of Lutheran reflection on faith and life, theology and culture, delivered monthly right to your mailbox. Learn more at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstadt.org.